to see each one. We pray that the Lord will use His Word and that our time won't be in vain, and that we do desire to be a blessing to this church. You know, I do get nervous at times. There's times that I'll be preparing for a message, and one of the things that always comes to mind is, man, I wonder if I preached that up there before. It's not the same message because it's brand new. But I think, wonder what I preached last. I didn't have time to get on the website to look what I preached there last time. So I've come to the conclusion that if I preached a similar message, you needed it or I'm getting dementia. So we'll see. But in all seriousness, there's been a thought that's, and I seriously may have mentioned this last time, but it's not the message. But there's been a thought that has been on my mind for a long time that the Lord has placed upon my heart. I think it was our 60th, I believe it was our 60th church anniversary. It might have been our 50th. Maybe it was our 50th last year. And I wanted to preach this thought there, but I didn't. And the Lord has placed the thought upon my heart for a long time concerning parking the plow. And our subject is not that. It's close to that. It's going to be persevering and plowing. But when I think and I consider the thoughts of parking the plow, I think of especially the Lord's churches. And maybe altering the plow a little bit. I think I consider myself still young. And I know my generation and even generations above me, and certainly the ones underneath us, they look at New Testament Baptist churches, excuse me, and they think, when are those people going to get with it? There are those that no doubt have been raised in Baptist churches and that have left, and they look back on us with disdain and think, when are they going to get with it? When are they going to get up with the times? According to God's Word, He hasn't called us to get up with the times. And these are thoughts that the Lord has placed upon my heart, because we need to persevere in plowing in the Word of God. We cannot. You know, I look at our church, Faith Baptist Church, and God has blessed us tremendously under the ministry of our pastor. I mean, we've had kids that have remained in church and have grown up and had kids, and they're growing up, and there's kids everywhere. But that's not the case in every church. It doesn't matter. No church is more important than any other church. But the important thing is that churches never say, let's park the plow. We must be doing something wrong. No, don't ever park the plow. Persevere in plowing, because the Lord's Word is sure. Notice a few passages this morning to start. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 12, if these things aren't true, none of the Word of God is true, so we might as well not bother with it, but they are true. Before we get to persevering and plowing concerning the Lord's church, I think first and foremost, we have to look at our own lives individually. Because a church can go through all the motions, and we can come together on Sundays and go through the motions of serving God, but if all week long we haven't done any plowing in our own life, it's going to be a pretty vain worship. So we need to be persevering and plowing in our own life. Notice Proverbs 12:11. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. Big mistake to make is to take the book of Proverbs. It is a very practical book. And there's very many lessons that can be learned. But first and foremost, those lessons are spiritual. Here we see spiritual diligence. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. You know, you can consider that land your mind, my mind. Throughout the week, do we stir up our mind in the things of God? Do we read the Word of God? Do we pray? Do we meditate? Even when we come to the house of God, do we come so wore out and so tired that we leave with nothing and then we blame the preacher? Man, he sure preached a lousy one today. We have to till the land. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Here's the reality. There are people in Baptist churches that are following those that are vain. We may come to church, but are we living our lives any differently? I mean, people out in the world that don't go to church, there's some good people out there too, morally speaking. But what are we doing differently? Are we in the Word of God? Are we plowing the Word of God in our mind? Are we praying? Are we witnessing? Are we busy? Notice Proverbs 28:19. And if I get ahead of myself at times, I hope that you'll still get the things the Lord would have you to get. Just pray for me. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. Can we get in bad shape spiritually speaking? Yes, we can. Someone that doesn't eat physical food, they're going to get sick and they're going to get weak. The same is true for someone if I don't eat spiritual food. I can come to church, and I'm here to testify to you this morning that there has been times I've gone to church and I've sat through the services and I've been in Sunday school and I've been in all the services, but just about to starve to death. And it does show up in our lives. And we see here in Proverbs, he that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. Yes, that's true physically, but it's also true spiritually. Who do we follow? Who do we let lead us? We need to be looking to those that are really strong in the Lord and those that are faithful to the Lord. Galatians, without turning there, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 tells us, be not deceived. God is not mocked. A lot of people today think they're going to mock God and get away with it. The Bible tells us that there's many that believe because God does not execute judgment right away, that they've gotten away with something. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's true in the negative. But the book of Proverbs also tells us that's true in the positive. So if we are sowing seeds of spirituality in our life, if we're reading God's word and we're praying and we're meditating and we're growing, we're going to reap a harvest. And I guess if there's another thought I want you to consider this morning is think about what the harvest is going to be in our lives personally. Think about what the harvest is going to be in our life as a family. It brings me, secondly, to my next point. Very short and sweet. But we need to also never persevere in plowing the Word of God in our family. Our families, we need to constantly be teaching our kids the things of God. You know, I'm at that age where I have at least one child at that age, almost grown, been raised in church his whole life, good kid, ever given me any much an ounce of problem, but he's not saved. You try to talk to him about saved, and doesn't seem to be a whole lot of interest there. And I know there's parents here that have raised kids in church in that same way, and they've left, and they've went off. And that's a heartbreak. We can't save them. Amen. No. But we still have to raise them in the way, in the things of God. And I told my kids, I said, you know, you may get out of here, you may not like the way that you were raised, but one thing, by the grace of God, I will never do. I will never apologize for the way that I raised you. I raised you strict. Lord saves you. You're saved or not saved. I hope that He does. But I, by God's grace, I won't apologize. And we can't apologize as parents for trying to teach our kids the things of God the way that God has instructed us to do. We're to raise our kids in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. In our church, I think in the last year, we've had 3 or 4 kids saved. Young kids. A lot of times the reaction is, I wonder if that's genuine. I always just want to automatically assume that it is genuine. Thank God that He's saving our kids. It's no surprise. When we, and I look at these parents and I say, man, they're, some of these parents I knew when they were teenagers, and they've been faithful to the Lord, and they've raised their kids in church, and they've made them sit in that boring church and listen to those messages and make them behave, and then the Lord saved them. Why should we be surprised? They persevered in plowing to their family, and the Lord blessed that. Now, He didn't save them because of their goodness, but He did bless what they did. And that's a blessing. But we need to persevere in plowing. And I tell you, as I think of this, it gets difficult. Because it's like being in a storm or in a war. Because you just keep trying to hold that line. And that line just keeps coming up. And you're just trying to hold your ground. You know, I can remember when my kids were young, I was a perfect parent. When they got a little bit older, I was like, oh boy, this is as easy as I thought it was. You try to hold the line, but that's what we're called to do. And we're to persevere in raising them. But notice the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. And if you're here, and you're a young person, again, I think I said this in Sunday school, but I'll tell you again, the greatest thing, one of the greatest things that you can do to have a good life, the Bible tells us that. You're going to have problems. You're not going to have a perfect life. But to be blessed of the Lord is to honor your father and your mother. You know, we can tell our kids and control them and say, you're going to do this and you're going to do that. But I can't. And even as a parent, you can't make your kids honor you. That's something they have to do. But young people, if you'll do that, God will richly bless you. I really do believe that. Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says, let me get the verse here. Verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Our kids ought to know truth. They're raised in church. I'd say by the time they're teenagers, they ought to have a little bit of depth. Saved or lost, they ought to know truth. Not just because they get it at church, but because they get it at home. I think the TV was on the other day, or we went by a church, and Lydia, who's 9, says, are they preaching truth? And my answer was probably some. I'm not being mean, it's just the truth. Most places don't teach the Word of God in its pure form. So we need to persevere. We need to persevere in plowing the Word of God in our lives. We need to persevere in plowing in the Word of God in our families. And quickly, it's not just dad's responsibility. Kids need to see both mom and dad united together, both strong together, both on the same page that can say, this is God's Word. Moms and dads both, we ought to be able to expound upon the Word of God, especially if we have been in church any time at all. But as I consider this thought, parking the plow, the Lord has placed upon my heart for a long time, and then the title turns into persevering and plowing, I think of the Lord's church, and this is the main thrust of our message this morning. First of all, I would tell you that I'm thankful the church the Lord has placed me in. I plan on staying at Faith Baptist Church until God moves me. There's been times I probably wanted to move myself, but until God moves me, that's where I want to stay. I'd also say I'm thankful for the way that our church is conducted. You know, some people in the world may go by and think, wow, not much goes on there. Well, they're right. We don't have a three-ring circus going on. We have the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. You know, it's a lot of the dry things. As that farmer is out there and he's planting in that soil and it's dry, you don't see a whole lot going on with that, with the seed or whatever for a while. But the harvest does come. Even this morning, the harvest will come. If you'll plant, and if I'll plant the spiritual things in my life, the harvest will come. If you're here this morning and you're lost, our desire is, and certainly I don't know who you are, but I guarantee you, if you're here this morning and you're lost, and there's people that are here that know you and that love you, they desire nothing else for you more than to see the Lord save your soul. You know, I tell my kids, you know, our generation and even beyond me, it's success, success, success. Success is good if God gives that to you. But the best thing is that you're saved and you're serving the Lord. And if you have to work for menial nothing, I'm more proud of you for serving God and being faithful to Him. That is success. Well, what about a church? What is success? Is success when, are we really successful when it looks like we're going in decline? Well, that depends. Are we going in decline as churches because maybe we're not being all that we should be for God? Is that ever the problem? I think sometimes, and I say this with a burden because I have preached in churches and I drove for hours to preach to very small congregations. And don't misunderstand me. They were just as much of a church as some of the biggest churches that you and I have been in. They're no less important. But you have to ask yourself the question, did we get to that point because we as church members didn't make an effort to witness? The Bible tells us that we reap what we sow. So if we want to see church growth, we'll never see church growth if we don't witness, you know, whatever that may be. If we don't invite people to church, it's not just going to be the pastor's job to go out and work in the community. That is every single member's job. And to be honest with you, we've done different types of visitations, and a lot of times you can almost, and I'm not saying they're bad because we do them, but if we just do it as in like a systematic thing where, okay, we're going to cover these streets and we're almost just robotic versus we come across those people that are lost in our lives and we don't witness to them, that's pretty inconsistent. But it's much easier for me to go knock on a door where I don't know the person than the person that I know a whole lot about. I know they're lost. That's difficult to witness. Because you don't want to feel that rejection, or you don't want to make them upset. You don't want to make them angry. But what is a successful church? Even when it looks like a church is in decline in God's eyes, which is all that really matters, they still may be very successful. If they are contending for the faith, they are still going to be successful. We cannot lose sight of that. We cannot measure a church's success based on appearance. That's a beautiful building. What are they preaching? How are they teaching people get to heaven? Do they even teach that everybody goes to heaven? What are they teaching? What are they preaching? What kind of examples are they? Matthew chapter 28, you know where I'm going, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Matthew 28, Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Then go to the book of Revelation, the last chapter, Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride, the church, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. That is our responsibility, is to call sinners to Christ. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That is our responsibility. We are to call sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. If you're here this morning and you're saved and you're lost and you get nothing else out of this message or out of this service this morning, understand that this church calls you to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you've been here and you've been in church your whole life and you're still lost, this church still calls you to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If this is the first time that you've been in this church calls you to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is our responsibility. The Lord's churches don't teach error. We don't teach that you'll just go to heaven by your good works. We don't teach that you'll go to heaven because you've been baptized. We don't teach that there's not a hell. We don't teach all those politically correct things out there. But what the Lord's church does teach and what it does preach is the truth of God's Word. And that's digging deep into that dirt and plowing that ground. And there will be a harvest. God will bless His Word. I think of Ephesians, without turning there, but Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 and 27, talks about how the Lord is preparing His church. Well, how is He preparing His church? How is He washing His church? Well, He's doing it with all those fancy people on TV. They're doing a really good job, aren't they? Every time they want to offer spiritual freedom, they want to charge you something for it. No, the Lord is working through His church. And He's using the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with secular books. Nothing at all. But you know what? No one can improve upon the Word of God. I can remember growing up, my mom taught me things, and then my dad taught me things. It's just the way I can remember them. But one thing I can remember my dad teaching me was the scripture where it says, God has magnified His Word above His name. That makes His Word pretty important. And people look at it today, and they belittle it today, and they say it can't be understood today, and they got to change it today. God's Word is fine just the way that it is. It's worked all these years. It doesn't need to be changed now. And God's Word doesn't need to be watered down. It doesn't need to be changed to fit anybody. God's Word is going to stand forever. Whether I preach it or whether I believe it or you do, it's God's Word is going to stand. I want to look at some things quickly. Notice Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is pretty familiar scripture. God truly blessed in Acts chapter 2. Let's look at the blessings of the Lord in Acts chapter 2 in verse 42. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto Him about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them out to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That was the harvest. I would call that a success. Twice in these passages of Scripture, we see the words where it talks about they continued. Many people today start the journey. They're never saved. They make a profession of faith. We see in these verses, these people continue. That's the harvest. What got them to that point? Well, the prior part of Acts chapter 2. The preaching of the Word of God. The telling it like it is. And let me get into these things quickly. I don't know where it was at, but I heard a preacher say, talking about how the Lord Jesus Christ, when he fed those people with all the fishes and bread, how many people followed him just to see his miracles? A lot of people did. You know what a lot of religion has done today? They keep dangling those same fishes and bread out there in different ways, trying to get people to follow the Lord. Fishes and bread. These superficial things do not make Christians. They make people that want to get what they can get from the Lord, and then they turn their back on him just like they did in John chapter 6. But there's a lot of people out there today with fishes and bread, offering people things if they'll come and serve the Lord. I want to notice also, and there's so much here, but notice 1 Thessalonians. Persevering and plowing as a church, as individuals, as families. Just keep on. I was going to read the whole chapter 1, but we won't. But I love this book. These people were a great church. That was the harvest. But what got them to that point? Well, notice the Apostle Paul. Chapter 2. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. I never want to preach in vain. I never want to go to church in vain. There's times I'm sure I do, but that's not my intention. And the Apostle Paul says here that their entrance unto them, their communications, their witnessing, their teaching, their preaching to them wasn't in vain. But even that we had, after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. I want you to take notice in these last few minutes the ministry and the type of man that the Apostle Paul was. Not just him, but those that were with him. And it is so foreign to so many religious things today. But notice, he says, first of all, for our exhortation was not of deceit. When he was out there in the field, if you want to envision a farmer out there, this is the way it's been placed upon my heart, in my mind. When you envision a farmer out there and he's plowing his field and he's using that plow and he doesn't see anything right away, he knows he's going to have a harvest. A lot of times in our churches, we don't see that harvest and it's easy to get discouraged. Maybe we ought to tweak this just a little bit. Maybe we ought to try this just a little bit. No. The Apostle Paul says, for our exhortation was not a deceit. There's so many people today that handle the Word of God, that handle it deceitfully, and make it to say things that it never says. God never told us that we were going to have a perfect life. God never told us that whatever we ask Him, we're guaranteed to have because we ask Him. We can't demand anything of God. When we read those scriptures that the health and the wealth and those preachers want to use, we got to read them in their context. Can't take them out of context. The Apostle Paul, he wasn't of deceit, nor uncleanness, nor in guile. Verse 4, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. Second of all, not as pleasing men. There's two sides to the pleasing men. God's men are never called to be politically correct. God's people are never called to be politically correct. That's the one extreme. But the other extreme is, I never want to be a preacher that purposely wants to get up and just make somebody mad. It's a serious thing to be able to stand before God's people and to abuse that, and that's been done through the years. There's a fine line there of not being politically correct, but oh, I want to look really spiritual, so I'm going to step on everybody's toes. There's a fine line in the middle, and the Apostle Paul walked that fine line. I believe your pastor walks that line. I know mine does. And God blesses that. There is a biblical word for that. It's called being injurious. Just trying to be hindered, trying to be hurtful to the people of God. God's men and teachers in that, to lead the people of God in love, in general, we'll see. So, we're not to plow in political correctness. We're not to worry about pleasing men. Verse 5, for neither at any time used we flattering words. The Apostle Paul didn't use flattering words. Sometimes I probably catch myself stammering, and at the end of the day, I can say, you know what? I did what God wanted me to do and did the best I could. We can't butter up. Teaching, preaching, witnessing, we can't butter up and try to flatter people. We have to tell people the truth. If you're here this morning and you're lost, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If your life ends today, if my life ends today, I'm going to go with one of two places. I know the Lord Jesus Christ, so I'm going to heaven. But if you're here and you're lost, regardless if you think you're a good person or not, doesn't matter. You're not going to go to heaven unless you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone could go to heaven without receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, think of it this way. Why did Jesus even bother dying? Why did God put His Son through all that He put through? If I could go to heaven without that sacrifice, I can't. So He sent His Son. Think about this, though. Think about the gift of God giving His Son. You look around and the world may seem like a mess. The Lord is still saving souls. Regardless of what a mess maybe your life is in, the Lord still can save your soul if you look to His Son. Look to Jesus Christ today. As an individual, I urge you. As a church, we urge you. We look at... Notice... let me keep reading here just a little bit. For neither at any time we use flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. This is used today. God didn't put people in the ministry to give them an occupation. God's men, I believe, that labor in word and in doctrine and that are diligent and that are men that you know, and I'll just use an example. I think Brother Jerry Asbury says this, so I can say it. I'm not running for anything. Pastor will probably never hear it. My pastor will never hear this, but if he was out in the world working, he would be a big success. I really believe that because the work ethic, the diligence, and he takes great care in what he does. But on the other hand, so God's, the Lord's churches, we should do all that we could for those that are diligent about the role that God has placed them. And it is a hard role. I could tell you this week, looking at the things my pastor has to deal with surgeries and funerals with a church our size, and it's a hard role to try to be all things to all people and to feed them and to teach them and to hear everybody's problems and have to try to deal with that. all the time. We forget how difficult that could be, but it has to be difficult. So we need to do all that we can, but there are a lot of those that use the ministry and they use it for a way to gain. It's clear, and he says here, not for a cloak of covetousness. The Apostle Paul was a great testimony with this. There was times he would take from people, and then there was times where he would say, no, I'm not going to take from you. I want to be an example to you, how you shouldn't take advantage of people, but how that you should work willingly with your own hands. He was a great man and a great example of that. Then in verse 6, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. As we persevere in plowing as a church and trying to reach the lost souls, we have to do it in a gentle way. Can't be politically correct. We can't flower it up. We can't make them promises that aren't found in the Word of God. But we have to be gentle with them. We should care. Someone cared for us. We should care for other people. And we should desire to see them saved. A lot of things mentioned. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 talks about doctrines of devils. There's a lot of doctrines of devils today that people are plowing in. We don't need to take the truth off the plow that God has given us to plow and start remanufacturing these other things on there and spreading that. Say, we would never do that. There's probably churches today, or so-called churches today, that thought they would never be where they were at either. What is success in a church? Well, it's when we have to build an addition. It's when everybody's there at all the services. It's when we have visitors all the time. No, success in a church is when you're doing what God would have you to do to the best of our ability. That, and leave the rest with the Lord. We see plowing with deceit, plowing with rudeness. We don't have time to turn there, but Acts chapter 17, when Paul, the Apostle Paul, was at Mars Hill, he was waiting for some people and waiting for his companions to catch up to him. He looked around, his spirit was stirred in him because he seen everybody was given to idolatry. And what did he say they were doing? He says, all these people, all they do is they wait to see the newest thing. We don't need any new things. People may look upon us and they say, you're failing. Baptists, you're behind. You're failing. No, we're not. We don't need any new things. The Bible is clear and it says, some shall depart from the faith. What about us? As individuals, I think first and foremost, we have to look at ourselves. And our prayer should be, Lord, give me the grace to persevere. Oh, we can never lose our salvation, but can we get out of the will of the Lord? Can we change the way that we witness a little bit? Can we just kind of give up on witnessing altogether? A harvest is coming. We need to persevere in plowing. And that's my message. I hope it's a blessing, and I hope it's an encouragement to you. I thank God for Home Baptist Church. I have many memories in this church growing up as a little boy sitting in Bible conferences. And most of the time, I was probably bored to death because I was a little boy with a sinful human nature. But you're still here, and you're still standing for truth, and that is a blessing. Thank God for that, and we need to pray for each other as churches that we stay strong. If you're here and lost, we would, not to prolong the service. I don't know you, but I pray the Lord save your soul. And I know, again, I'll say, if there's people that know you here, they love you and they desire to see you be saved. And we invite you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come talk to us. Talk to someone. Maybe you know. Maybe you know. Maybe you've heard the gospel. Make it by God's grace. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and put your faith in Him. What I've said to my youngest son may not be theologically correct, but I believe it's true. It's got to just look to the Lord. It is theologically correct, but you have to look to the Lord. And I know when I was saved, I just had to let the chips fall where they may. I just repented. I don't know what happened first. I don't know. Faith and repentance came at the same time. My life changed, and I just said, chips are going to fall what they may. My life's going to change however it's going to change, but I was happy the Lord had saved my soul. And I know, and I say that because lost people, they have that hesitation. Well, what if, what if, what if? You got to come to the Lord Jesus Christ as you are, but at the same time, you got to realize you got to leave the chips there. Your life is going to be different. You're not just going to go away and be the same person, but it's a good thing. Let us stand and have a song of invitation.